You guys ever make a prank phone call before?
I'll start this one off. No.
Dang it.
Well, I mean, you recently were bringing up how much you enjoy messing with telemarketers, so I guess you're just taking the next step of just calling people directly to fuck with them. Just advancing the hobby.
Jake is becoming the telemarketer.
Yep.
So I don't know why, I don't know what made me think of this, but me and my buddy, wait, Kelly, do you remember Paul Hinton?
Rings a bell.
He lived like in your neighborhood. Me and him would hang out all the time, and he had this like big sound setup because he played guitar, and of course he had a voice modulator, and so we would call people, and we would like leave voicemails, and they were like, "Mr. Smith, we have your hemorrhoid cream. If you want to come by and pick it up." Hours of fun. Just hours.
You star 67 that business.
I was about to say, kind of hard to get away with that nowadays.
Oh yeah.
That's what I was gonna say, is that like you just can't do that anymore. There's something so funny about doing that. And like I remember when I worked at Safeway, people would prank call us, and I was just like, I mean, I'm annoyed because I'm at work, but that was funny.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, you could spoof a number nowadays and do it that way.
Oh, yeah. That's what all the scammers do. That's why. Mm-hmm. That's why don't ever call the people back, because it's not their number. They spoofed it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen the prank call on YouTube where a guy just calls an auto parts store and just continually over and over says butt plugs? For like 7 minutes, and the guy doesn't hang up on him. He's trying to be like spark plugs. And the guy's like, no, butt plugs. No. He says butt plugs exclusively the entire time for like 7 minutes, and then
oh my god,
yeah,
you're gonna watch that.
You just look up butt plug prank call on YouTube. It's like the first one. It's like Trucker Nation.
All right, I'm gonna look at butt plug in my work computer. Hold on.
it's hilarious. I die every single time. I think I sent you guys a reel recently of Longmont Potion Castle. I'm pretty sure I've told you guys about him before.
You have, yes. Yeah. I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah, his whole thing is he's just an online prank caller. He's been doing it for forever. I've been for years. And yeah, they're hilarious.
There's something just so funny about it. There was one I was telling Caleb recently, or Tim's younger brother, and there's this one that this is very funny to be outside of it, but he was calling and harassing like Best Buys or Taco Bells or something, and like whenever he would call, he would start off completely normal, and all of a sudden he would be like, put a girl on, and he would not shut up, and like it got to the point where they like knew him.
Oh,
and then when he would like go through the drive-through, and then they would be like, "All right, here's your drink." He would be like, "Cool, can you put a girl on?" And like somebody would try to like punch him like through the window.
Oh my god,
fucking funny! The guy was a jerk, but I have to laugh when something is funny.
Oh god, I would love to see someone try to punch him through a drive-through window. That would be funny.
There's this guy that his videos just show up on my feed all the time. People would pay him to deliver bad news. And
awesome. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think his name is John. Maybe like John delivers bad news or something like that. It's like a kind of like a Steve delivers bad news. And it was like this like highly like intimate stuff like you're not the father, and I've been so scared to tell you.
Oh Jesus, dude! Holy crap!
Other stuff like you're the worst sister-in-law I've ever had, and you didn't give me sympathy when I broke my hand, and you just kept asking why I wasn't doing more, and like just like crazy stuff. And some people are just like, they just kind of like listen, and they just like okay, whatever, and hang up. But some people like, they get so like aggressive. They're like, "Well, you tell them," and then he's like, "Hold on. If you want to tell them anything, go to our website. Go to the John delivers bad news, and you can pay me."
Let me talk to you about my fee.
Oh my god, that just fucked up. It sounds like the beginning of like a Judd Apatow comedy, like Pineapple Express. It's like, you're not a processor.
Yeah, exactly,
you're just like a private bad news giver.
It's amazing. Like, truly incredible. And he almost always, not always, but almost always ends the call with, I love you.
At least he's class.
Oh, yeah.
At least someone has said I love you to this person who is someone to give someone else bad news.
Bad news.
That's how bad their life's gotten.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy, crazy stuff. Like, I think I had to stop listening to it because, like, so, it was just so depressing.
Yeah, you'd have to have a hard exterior for that job. Sounds funny on a banter for a podcast, but goddamn.
Yeah, that's a job I do for a week, and then I go, I don't want to do that anymore. I can't.
It reminds me of that, different, but it was a radio show that kept calling this one woman and kept using the John Cena theme song.
Yeah, that's
a
classic.
Yeah, that's a classic. I was just thinking of that one, and it's just like she gets so aggravated. And then they call her again. She goes, what? What is it? He goes, ma'am, do you support the U.S. Marine Corps? And they go, of course I do. Well, this Marine needs your help. And his name is John Cena. And just, then like the whole theme starts playing again. She goes, God damn it. And hangs up the phone. And they just kept harassing this person. It's like so bad. But I'm like, I don't know. Just the, oh God, especially with John Cena involved. But I was just like, God damn, that is like radio station just was like on edge so badly at that point. They were like, all right, let's keep doing this.
So those things were like, you gotta think, like, that had to have made it to John Cena at some point.
I think it did. Yeah. I think he kind of was like laughing about it because I think it was during, it was like 2005. I mean, when radio stations were still like fairly big.
Yeah.
Because everyone else just use Sirius XM and stuff nowadays, and or just Spotify.
Spotify, yep.
But, right. Yeah.
It is John Breaks Bad News.
John Breaks Bad News.
And it looks like he had a camera upgrade since the last time I saw him.
Oh, so he's making money off making good money off of this.
Wow. I mean, he posts all the time because I think it's a show. He might stream it on Twitch. I think he used to stream it on Twitch, and I guess now he does it on Cameo. Wow.
When you were talking about it, it reminded me of a guy that he's paid to give to like tell management stuff that you are too afraid to say to their face.
Mm.
And so he walks into like some mechanic shop and he's like, Yeah, one of your previous employees wanted me to come in here and tell you that you're a racist piece of shit, and like, so and they try to like pick a fight with him, and then he's like, I got cameras on me right now. You really want to fight me because you're a racist to somebody else?
No,
I low-key love that. That's amazing.
It's a safe assumption.
Yeah.
If I ever have like beef with a former employer, I will do that.
Yeah, right. And I'm like, that's just Justin, because then he leaves, and then like they're mad, like, well, they can't do anything, like they don't know who that could be, you know. I don't know how they would ever find out who made that comment. And assuming they're pieces of shit, they probably treated a bunch of people like that. Mm. So yeah. So you're in the clear. Well, you know who's not in the clear? Somebody lost a finger.
Oh yeah,
last week.
Oh, yeah.
And it's your guys' fault. I just want to say that.
Wow. Okay.
We were trying to leave that night.
Dang right we were.
And then there would have been two fingers in the box. So, you guys had woke up in the morning after sending Honnu Vosht out with 8 people. And they said that there was a small group still at the Crystal Mines. You guys said, get out of here. You bullied Hundi for a good 5 minutes, I think. And then sent him on his way while you guys went to go rescue the rest of them from this Crystal Mine that they keep talking about. So, when you walked out, you found a box, and Tim correctly guessed that there was going to be a finger inside.
That sick bastard, Tim.
It's a little weird that Tim knew that. I think he might be in on it.
Get him.
It was my finger!
He's like, guys, I was just pranking you, okay?
What a weird prank, bro.
Please, someone reattach this.
It's been a week. I don't know if it can be saved.
Dude, when somebody asks you why you're missing a finger and was like, man, I sawed it off to do a sweet prank on my bros.
We sawed it off a week ago? We've been here for, like, 18 hours. What have you been doing with a box in your finger?
That's why you keep missing all those rock throws.
Waiting for the right moment.
He's got gloves on, and one of the fingers of the glove is just like mysteriously limp all the time.
This is going to be such a great prank. I just have to find the right time.
By the right moment to deliver the punchline.
Like, oh, look over here. They left a box.
Oh my gosh. So, what are you guys thinking right now? Where's your head at? They know you're coming. They know what's going on.
I think it's time to kill some slavers.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking just want to scout this place out as best we can. We can play to our sneakiness. I can be a big ass diversion if need be. Like, we'll figure a way in. We're spies.
Wait, is it? Yeah, because they don't exactly know. I mean, we weren't sleeping outside or anything, so we could easily just make it look like, Sir Thorne is by himself or with one other person, and we could sneak around and stuff like that. I mean, it's not like they know exactly who we are, I would say.
Yeah.
Well, one of them saw us and did combat with us.
Yeah,
right?
one of them got off. So, Sir Thorne.
But it's his word against us.
Sir Thorne's thinking.
So, like, that guy's a liar.
Yeah. In that case.
I like the idea of, depending on how it all shakes down, like, I love how we're thinking, like, oh, maybe we could, like, kind of draw him out of the mine. We're probably all going to be crammed into, like, a 10x5, you know, tunnel or whatever. But if we had the choice to, like, flank out, like, I could support Sir Thorne from long range. You guys could flank on the sides. Mulari and Laria, and then we kind of converge that way, but you know, knowing it's a mine, we're probably just gonna end up in a small tunnel and have to deal with stuff.
Can any of you navigate the woods well? I feel like if we were to approach from a different direction from the road, perhaps we could gain back some element of surprise.
I don't think I have survival.
Anybody got survival? Get us. Get us through the woods, but still on track.
We're a bunch of city slickers.
I have Bruin War.
Dang, alright, well, I guess we're taking the fucking road.
Remember, all of you grew up in Cadargo.
Yeah. Yep.
I like to think that we move 10 feet off of the road and we're like, where are we?
We're helpless. Oh,
I'm lost.
I don't see any street signs. Where's a bar?
We're gonna die. Give me your leg.
So I ask you this in front of all of the prisoners, and we're all just like,
they
shit.
Shipped off, right?
Oh, right. Do we ship all of them off?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. We did. Yeah. Right, so they're all
to their certain death on the sloop.
So Thorne is a little ashamed that none of us can get us through the woods, but I guess we're just gonna have to go straight ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Nolly's kind of like looking at herself, like, you know, you'd think with my hull and my somewhat argyle appearance, or agricultural appearance, I'd be able to navigate in the woods, but this thing's mostly for show.
I mean, the natural elements is not merely a garden you can cultivate. And honestly, Laria, at this whole point with the finger stuff, she goes, ah, I feel like I have to start opening up to perhaps make a bar at this point. the experience is, I mean, it's just a fatiguing kind of like one thing after another. You're like, oh cool, more slaves, more slavers, oh there's this creature that was capturing people's souls, like,
and torturing them,
like, ugh. She's like, I might expand to some a little bit of hard coffee, I suppose.
Could all use
that Irish cream.
What's Irish?
I know, dwarven cream.
Kit Torgan,
though.
target.
My deception is plus 22. I mean, I have a great nature check.
Shit, Mia Lari knows what she's doing.
Just follow her. So now here's the thing too, is that there is a clear path on the road. You don't know how long they've been here, but it is clear that they have been up and down here with the cart for a long time. So there are grooves in the road. There's some clear footprints, especially from the Asash walking up and down every 12 hours, 24 hours, or something like that. So there is a path. It just might get a little fuzzy when you get, you know, farther out. You guys start heading north. You start heading on the path that you guys can see. At a certain point, you get to a river, and there's a makeshift bridge that was made to go over this. And then the path ends. So you realize that it's like somewhere around here. So just make me general wisdom checks to kind of like figure out where you might have to go from here. You made like 99% of the way. It's just like trying to figure out, okay, well, it ends here, so it's got to be somewhere in this direction.
Is a wisdom check more like just rolling with wisdom modifier, or?
Yeah, just with wisdom modifier, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Nala's going to spend her time examining the bridge to see if it was sabotaged. That feels like something she would do.
Well, I got a 3. So, I rolled a 2, and my wisdom modifier is a plus 1, so...
Well, I got a 4.
Okay. Well, I got a natural 19.
Boom!
My wisdom modifier is plus 3.
So, while those two are looking for more fingers...
There's fingers all over the shop.
There's got to be a trail. Trail of fingers. You realize that there is a... trail leading off to the east, sort of along the river. And definitely some heavier footprints, and you do spot what seems to be like a some blood that's on like the base of a tree. And you're like, okay, we fought that guy not too long ago. He must have been bleeding. And this is fresh-ish blood. So you continue along. And you get to a rocky face.
By the gods, look at that face. What is it doing?
When you begin approaching.
Shut up, Nolly.
It's staring right at us, though.
You can see from a distance that there is a... that it sort of curves inward. And you can see what appears to be some smoke that seems to come up every few minutes from the entrance of it. Anybody that is into any kind of brewing or alchemy lore or anything like that can smell tobacco.
Ooh. It's that good shit.
Damn, they're cool.
Damn. I just keep thinking it was the Lord of the Rings hobbit weed or something. What was it called?
Oh, yeah.
It was like
long bottom weed.
Yep.
Yeah, there was like
or long bottom leaf.
They had so many different variants, dude. There was like Old Tom or something like that.
It was
there are 4 whole pages dedicated to describing long bottom leaf in the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yep. My gosh.
They're like, it's the best.
What? Why don't we name weed strains after like hobbit names? That would be cool.
Yeah, I think there was one called Old Toby. Long bottom leaf, Southern Star. Like, there's just all these different variants that I just remember, like, Mary and Pippin going, like, oh.
Brandywine Express.
Yeah. It was... I like to see that movie.
But yeah, so you can. It's clear, looking at this, that there is somebody smoking at the entrance of this little cave and opening.
Wait, I got one more. Smaug's Smog.
That's like a move right there.
Yeah, that's
called a hotbox.
One of my favorite clips from the animated movie is when Bilbo is like smoking and he blows a huge plume of smoke and Gandalf just appears from behind a tree.
Yeah.
We all knew that Gandalf had that dog in him.
Yeah.
He was like, wait, you're smoking? That's so funny.
All right. Shall we... Shall me and Nolly and Laria go ahead and see if we can't get the drop on this gentleman, or...
Does anyone have invisibility? I don't remember.
No.
Mialari doesn't have it.
No.
That's like Subterfuge 101.
I didn't choose the fucking spells on this list, okay?
Nolly just looks at you, Mialari, like, alright, time to turn us all invisible, alright?
Somebody's not getting hasted next combat.
Like, wait, you should have did that when we got to the camp.
I'll say before all this too, Laria does give Mialari and Nolly those teas. The
sweet D8 tea.
The sweet,
yep.
Could add D8, yes.
Date 19. But date is spelled D8.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, but, yeah, getting loaded with those, so.
All right.
All right, wait, Nolly, do you have invisibility? Oh, wait, you don't have spells? Sorry, Jesus Christ.
I just have this, and she just holds up her hoe. Me and my hoe. Been through the worst of it to the best of it. We'll get through this together. With... or without invisibility.
I'm fucking hasting Laria next time.
Just punching and grabbing. That's all she does, man. Trying to think of anything.
All right.
I'm gonna be like.
You want to try to sneak up on this guy?
Yeah, I'm gonna be following the expert to have a better.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, let's
stealth.
Who has the highest? Is it?
It's either me or Tim.
Yeah.
22.
I think we're tied, actually. Hold on.
My stealth's only plus 18.
So. Oh, nope. You got me beat by one.
Nice.
It's because you're small.
That actually might be the reason.
Well, that doesn't help when you roll like crap. Oh, wow. I take that back. 18 on the die for a 40.
Damn. Okay. So you begin approaching. The smoke becomes a little bit more clear. You can tell that this is some pretty mint tobacco.
Oh.
Yeah. Not worth stealing. Go up and just take the pipe out of his mouth.
Fucking Newport.
just slap it out. Get better.
get better tobacco. And I'm going to pull you over to the map.
Okay.
Bring us to the map.
To the map. So, you guys are... You're all the way over in the bottom left corner. You guys have vision?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that just over this little outcropping right here, if you get, like, a little bit of an angle... you would be able to see this dwarf just sitting there on a rock, just sitting there, like, smoking.
All right.
And he does look familiar in the last day. Is this you believe this to be the dwarf that ran off?
It's our man.
Did he have a name? Because I thought the other ones was, like, Saba and...
Yeah, what was his name?
Saba, Baba.
Oh, he was Saba, yeah.
Okay. Nice.
I was trying to remember because, like, I was like, you gave them all names, and I was like, wow, what's that?
Yeah, yeah, so this is Saba. Everybody gets a hero point, by the way.
Yay!
Because this is the final fight, and he might need it. So, like I said, you can see this guy from a distance. You can smell his pipe even before that. So you have an idea where he is. So what do you want your approach to be? How about that?
I mean, we're not going to take this guy out in one stealth round. These guys have too much health.
Yeah, they're tanky. Some.
Could you lure him over here?
I could use enthrall. But I mean, are we going to be able to get this guy out of here quietly? Because if he's over here, I don't know.
If he could get enthralled or charmed, then he could come with us take him out of earshot, and then we just kill him.
Drown him. I mean, yes. There's a body of water right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Put a body in the body of water.
Exactly. There is a river flowing like right outside of the city.
Is it a rushing river?
It's not a rushing river. I would say it's moving, but it's not providing like a lot of sound coverage, if that's what you're asking for.
Oh no, I was thinking about throwing him in the river if I had the chance.
Oh, but, and he just gets swept away immediately.
I was thinking it.
It just disappears off the map.
Maybe yesterday when it was raining heavy.
That probably would have been the fastest way to get rid of him then. Yeah.
Alright, I could try to charm him.
Yeah.
Hold on, this is being very slow right now.
It's either that, or I scale the cliff face, because there's some places you can go up, and I, like, jump down in front of the mouth of the cave to block his escape while you guys get him from the front.
Yeah, honestly, I like the charm idea again, yeah, because that's what we did with that one guy.
Yeah.
Yep. It worked for more, so.
Yeah, and I don't think their will is the best, I think. I don't know.
I agree.
It was one of it. But yeah, we could try that again and just get him enough and jump him.
All right.
So we'll take point to get to a spot and go.
Yep.
I do like the idea of shoving him in the water.
Tie some rocks to him first, but yeah.
I'll jump on him and drown him.
Okay. I remember there was one time I was at a one of my friend's pool, and our mutual friend Van Kelly, he was over there, and Chris jumped on him, and then Van all of a sudden went like dead man floating. Oh, and we were like, God. Oh shit, actually. It's like we had to like pull him up. It was funny.
God.
All right, I'm ready to hit this guy with the charm.
Okay. So he's sitting there just puffing on the pipe. One day I'll go retire.
And have a bunch of slaves of my own.
I won't have to work a day.
Are you going to charm him or enthrall him?
Enthrall doesn't really work, like, remember the way we thought it did.
Yeah, and it's more about like distractions and stuff like that. Charm is the one that worked perfectly last time.
So. Gotcha.
All right.
I'm trying to read this spell. What's your save on this?
The save is
will.
Yep. Yeah, it's gonna be a will. The foundry actually puts it in, so it says your save is DC 29 will save.
Yep.
So, sick. Not a gimme for this guy. Oh, well, you approach the corner and he sees you. And then you cast charm on him and your eyes sort of glow.
Well.
And his glow for a second, then he's like, it's that fucking elf! And then he goes to run inside.
God damn it.
I'm pretty sure the DC was actually worse because he knew we were his enemy.
Yeah.
I also rolled a natural 20. So.
Yeah.
All right. It was not meant to be.
Clearly.
All right.
So let's roll for initiative.
Heck yeah.
Because I do. I want to give you guys the opportunity here to.
I should have climbed the wall anyways. Should have climbed the cliff face.
That little ledge
though,
right there.
Yeah, jumped from above.
Ooh. And do what? Hit him with your sling?
Yeah.
What else?
It's knocks people's heads off. I mean, what can't it? All right, going down the line here, Mia Lari, what did you get?
30.
30. Laria.
36.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a 17 on the die.
Nice, nice. Sir Thorn.
22. Nah. Rolled terribly.
You can tell we're nearing the finale because he's sliding back into Kezra numbers.
Careful. Kezra, my boy Kezra.
I hate rolling good initiatives and protecting people. God, gross.
And Nolly, what'd you get?
36.
36 as well.
Get this holy light off me. I don't like it.
Okay. So, beginning the encounter, Laria and Nolly will go first.
I'll let Laria go first.
Yeah. So, Laria, seeing that this didn't work, she is going to be two move actions to get next to him.
Okay.
And she's just going to try and grab him.
Just grab him?
Yep, athletics. So.
Okay. I have his fortitude DC.
Beautiful. Let's see. Let me add a plus 22 modifier in this roll. Yeah. 35.
35 is a success.
Yeah.
So he's grabbed, but not restrained.
Yes.
Okay.
Still can't move. Where do you think,
still can't move.
Where do you think you're going?
Let me look. Grabbed on. There we are. All right. So he is grabbed. So you guys see that she doesn't have him pinned, but so he could shake her off. But you guys have an opportunity in this moment to work. Nolly, it is your turn.
All right. Nolly's going to use her movement to move up, but keeping the pressure on. She preloaded her hoe, of course. You never go into your battle without a preloaded hoe.
Gotta have it preloaded.
That might be the perfect joke in this setting.
And she launches a big old river rock.
Malara's like, damn, that hoe's loaded!
Oh, no. Why can't I do anything right? That's a 24.
Even grabbed, that is a miss.
Okay, so load again, and move, attack, load, because I had preloaded hoe, so that's it.
Okay. It is the thug's turn.
Ah.
He was waiting for you, I think.
Yeah.
So, his athletics is not as good as yours, but
he can still
make this attempt to get out. So this will be going against your fortitude DC.
All right.
Try to get out. Terrible roll. 26 total.
That's definitely a fail. Definitely.
Yeah. Yes. And then he is going to try and
hit.
He can attack with map. He can escape again with map. It's all map, baby.
It's all map, though. I think he will take out his flail and just try to hit you with it.
Oh, is that a manipulate action? To take out the flail, that's a DC 5. See if he can even do that.
That's true, yeah.
See if he fumbles it.
Yeah.
Did not. And then he does. So this is a flail strike with the map. I think he can or he can trip with this, too. I think he's going to try to trip you. So this would be a 29 against the reflex DC. So he's trying to just get you off of him at this point.
Oh, it's against my DC.
Against your reflex DC.
So
because it's a trip.
So it's not an attack roll, then?
He's making an attack roll against your reflex DC.
You said 29? Succeeds.
Okay.
It's 10 plus, right? Your save?
Yeah, my reflex is a plus 16.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Surprisingly, either with my dex is a plus 3, I don't know why my reflex is so fucking low. So.
I guess the class.
She's more of a slugger than a
yeah, but still,
dexter sapling.
I mean, I don't know why my... I don't know, just going back into, like, why a plus one wisdom makes my will save higher than my reflex. So
there were some things that I might have had to bump up afterwards.
Haven't had my coffee yet. That's why.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. But I'll say this: that's the end of his turn.
Okay. All right.
He tried once, drew the weapon, and then tripped you.
Does
and
the now trip pile? Does the trip take away the grab, or is he still grabbed?
Still grabbed.
Okay. I'll live with
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're on the ground. You're just like grabbed onto like.
Yeah. Where do you think you're going?
Like, pulled his pants down while you were falling, but you still got him. Got around the ankles by his kilt.
Try and run.
Yeah, right.
Nice. Try and run.
Like, hey, get off me.
My arms are like tree trunks, man.
You know, I'll use any opportunity to get one of these characters naked.
Exactly. Yeah. Mia Laria, it is your turn.
See, this, I don't like this because I can run up and get in flanking, but that puts my back to the mouth of this cave. And Sir Thorne's slow as fuck.
I got 25 speed. Not bad.
Alright. I will... What do you guys think? Should I do that?
Yeah. Getting flanking.
Yeah, that way you can also see into the cave a little bit.
Okay. Well, guess what? I don't see fucking anything in that cave. That was my move. First attack. Completely missed my dice tray. 18 on the die.
Oh.
Tim, 18 plus 19.
Oh, 37.
Woo. Yeah, that'd be a crit, actually.
Yes. Hey.
Sweet.
And that's a sneak attack crit as well.
I was going to say, yeah, that the being grabbed and flanked. Makes for easy crits around ropes.
I mean, he's just looking down, trying to pull his pants back up. It's he's uncoordinated.
That's 34 points of piercing damage.
Wow.
And with the map, last strike. I need to check because I think 29.
29 is a hit.
Oh, damn. I actually didn't think that was going to hit. Oh. 13 points of piercing.
Okay.
Is that with sneak attack?
That is with sneak attack. It's only 2d8, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just let low rolls.
2d6 up. Plus 2d8.
Ah, you just fall low. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Sir Thorne.
Alright, Sir Thorne comes sprinting around the corner with two move actions to get right up to this guy to jam the lance right in. Just... pin him to the wall.
His pants are down, Kelly.
Pin him right to the penis.
My lance is bigger.
Well, he's still grabbed, so that helps me. 27.
That's a hit.
Okay. It's lucky.
That is a hit because he's grabbed.
Wow.
Terrible damage. 11 damage.
Okay.
And that's my turn.
All right. Laria.
All right, so just make sure, like, to maintain a grab, I just have to say it, or do I have to re-roll it?
You have to re-roll it.
Okay. That's fine. I'll re-roll to maintain the grab.
And this is your first action, obviously. So this would count.
Oh, yeah.
Will be the map.
Without it, yeah. So, because at this point, I just want to keep him still.
Yep.
That was a better roll.
Just hold him here.
Yeah, so that's a 60 on die, so that's a 38.
Yeah, that'd be a crit.
Oh, beautiful.
Restrained.
He is restrained. Yep. I don't know what else to do because he's restrained. Can I punch him? Can I do that? I guess.
It was not a crit, but I think you. No, sorry, you still maintain it.
Okay.
But sorry, it was two away from a crit. So you held on pretty well, but I was looking at the minus twos, and I thought it added. I thought it affected that, but
right.
Apparently it did not. So, anyway, so the grab is still in effect, but you still have your two actions.
Okay, so I could just
whatever you want.
I'll just be at the math. Okay.
Yeah, that's
fine.
I've always thought if you successfully had someone grabbed, you should get a bonus to try to continue to grab them. I've always felt like that would be fair.
I agree with Kelly. Well,
take it up a piezo.
It would make monsters really, really... Well, I feel like monsters maintain for free anyway, so never mind.
Well, they maintain for free if they have improved grab.
Yeah, and a lot of them do.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so, low roll, but 28 with the map.
20, that is a... That's
oh
a
yeah, so she's just, like, kidney punching him, like... I mean... Let's see... 36 plus... 36 plus 6... That's 12, and let's put those D8s to... Let's do... Ooh! Good on the D8s. So that's 25 points of damage total.
Ooh.
I mean, okay. As I said, kidney punch. Bam.
Yeah.
Kidney punch. Pause. And so the next one would be with even more map. That's a... Oh, god damn. Not bad. 17 on die for 29.
I don't know. Yeah.
I'll take it. Like
MVP, Laria.
Dude, Laria. Yeah. I love Laria. She's awesome. I would go to her coffee shop.
And her new bar when it opens.
Oh my god.
Well, yeah, and the bar.
Look at that. On the fucking roller. 16 for base damage.
Oh my god.
And 11. So 27 points total.
Okay.
She is focusing the kidneys.
Oh
yeah.
Gosh.
He won't have him by the end of this.
Well, god damn, this is like first time Foundry actually is making me roll well.
It's helping you?
It's always fuck me in the ass. All the time. all these
die rolls.
I just realized I wasn't adding my plus six. I was just on, that was straight die damage on my.
Oh.
That's why I was like, so, it seemed
awful. Hands off the chest piece, but you know.
Alright. Nolly, it is your turn. I will say that there are you don't have a clear shot right now because of your friends.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the floor is yours.
Alright. I only have 25. What?
But I feel like that last spot there has got better better line of sight.
Yeah, I agree.
And his AC is down.
Yep, so I'm going to move to the... Gosh. East. And then I'm going to attack the grunt to my north, where my friends have got him surrounded. I loaded it. I preloaded it. You know, you always got to preload your hoe round before. That's all I'm saying. Oh no, off the dice tray. On the keyboard. In the dice tray is a nat 20.
Oh my god.
Alright, let's see if I get some like Super Saiyan powers or something. I demolish him. His headstone. This is his headstone. I'm gonna bury him in the ground and the rock I'm throwing on him is his headstone.
You get a major striking weapon.
Is this bludgeoning or piercing?
It's bludgeoning.
It's a piercing rock.
Oh man. Momentum. Wait, is it piercing or bludgeoning?
Bludgeoning.
Okay, so yeah, momentum. You gain a plus two circumstance bonus to all attack rolls until the end of your next turn.
Meh.
Well, there.
That's cool.
Double damn.
Do I have to roll, Jake? Or are we just saying he's dead?
I want to hear the number, dude.
Okay. Sorry.
This is a numbers game.
You're not technically incorrect. Oh wait, I gotta get my broken loaded die in here.
I'm gonna disallow you to use it.
It's from PAX Unplugged. I bought it legally and it said it was a good die. It's just in practice it is broken.
Wait, is this a Black Oak Workshop?
Oh, actually, Black Oak did great for me. My loaded die rolled low, so I guess it just proves that the
you can keep using it. It's okay.
Damn. So 10, that's 11, that's 21. Plus, oh, I've got my D6.
It would not be ethical at all, but it would be funny to go to one of these and sell dice as loaded dice, but they're loaded to the ones instead of the 20s. Just don't so tell many, them.
So many PCs of players would buy that for their GMs.
Oh my gosh. Got you some dice.
Got you some dice, boss.
You have it loaded to 10, so it's just always average, but not bad mid. Enough to get rid of.
Oh, God.
Our roll is 10s. What the hell?
That's bullshit. All right, would you say
62.
He has 30 hit points left.
Oh,
so
it wasn't to give me.
Describe your kill.
Like I said, I launched this stone so hard it becomes his headstone. He's buried to the ground.
He foot like a Looney Tune. You hit him, and then the ground gets swept up with his feet. He does a few flips in the air and falls down, and then the rock you hit hits a rock above you guys, and that falls and makes the grave.
There you go.
I got it.
And only his legs are outside of it.
Yes.
A flower randomly falls and grows, or right onto it. Okay, so he's dead. The cave entrance that you guys are at right now, you can see there are some crystalline formations. It does not appear to be dark in here. There seems to be a dull blue glow.
Oh, yes. God bless. Jake's like, I didn't give y'all any torches.
I mean, these are not magical crystals. Shut up. So after you pay respects or whatever, it gets very, very quiet, and you can start to hear tink, 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 coming from within.
Well, who wants to go in first?
You all lead the way. I'll try to be quiet from the back.
All right, I'm going to go in first, then.
So, sounds right. Good. Then we can...
And I will be attempting to be stealthy.
All right, yeah. Fuck. God, I only rolled a 16.
Nice.
even when I'm using the nice follow the expert, still keep rolling threes.
God. I rolled a 15 on the die.
I just like the idea. It's just like, don't be stealthy. Clank, clank, clank.
This doesn't necessarily have to be a high stealth DC. It's just,
no.
You know.
No.
Right. No.
I got a 33.
37.
34. 16.
So you guys begin walking in, and you get to the corner. It first turns to the left, and you guys can see way more in. You can see that there are crates, and what appears to be just a bunch of piles of different crystals. There aren't as many here. This is very much overloaded for artistic purposes. You can see it looks like there are like boxes of crystals of various colors, various shapes, various sizes that you had seen in the cave. When you begin crossing that first threshold and turn in that corner is where you hear a voice.
The fodder did not put up much of a fight, I see.
Was that all the resistance we were expected to find?
He was useless to me now. You did me a favor.
Well, he was fucking useless.
I agree. But you all are being a bigger nuisance than he ever was.
You could...
Now I suppose you have come for the rest of the slaves. But they are working for me. That is why you're stepping on my territory.
You know, you could give up now. Save yourself a lot of trouble.
That might be true. I am a very intelligent and business-oriented woman. But the money here and the power that I will have will be unmatched. Let's begin negotiating. And you see a woman appear on the other side of the water. So there appears to be a pool of water. As you kind of get in there, you guys see that? I'm hanging it right up. That kind of goes up to the left. And you see this woman. I will hit show to players.
Oh, shit.
You.
Oh, fuck. That looks Megacy to me.
Does look Megacy.
Oh, yeah.
Just a bit.
So she has long, dark hair, and she has, clearly has some, like, Tian Zha sort of vestments, a spell book at her side. And, yeah, she does have sort of a curved sword at her hip. In the picture, she is clearly wielding some kind of magical incantation in her hand, too.
And she's ripped.
She is ripped, yeah.
She did not miss leg day.
No.
Like, even with the baggy pants, you can still see some muscle definition. And then her biceps are, like, goals.
She's toned. She's toned. So she sort of hops up across the way there. And she goes, please, join me. And she sort of points right here. And she has her hands up, like she's getting ready to talk.
No, that is a trap, if I've ever seen one.
Nolly will trigger the trap. She'll go ahead with perception. She's, like, quite skilled in thievery, so she has a better chance of seeing a trap.
Well, okay. Not seeing a trap, I'm expecting a fireball.
Yeah.
She wanted to hit us with a fireball. She could have done it by now.
It's true.
Yeah, she just wants to talk business.
All right.
Swithorn has his shield raised.
Yeah, I guess you could make the perception for me, Jake, since it's like a secret check for traps and stuff.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay.
So get to about like here, so.
Sure. So you begin walking up. You get about like 15 feet from the water's edge, and you kind of posture yourself, like, you know, safe enough distance to where you can talk, but, you know, you're still being cautious. There are no traps. You don't sense any traps. Makes sense, since people are working in here.
Right.
They wouldn't want any traps around your workers. But what you see when you kind of come around, and you can kind of see up and to the right, is there's some rock steps that go up, and they're about 5 feet up every time going up each level. Okay. And on top of those rocks is this thing. I'm going to show you a picture of this.
Ooh. Oh, no.
Spiky dude.
This is a... How do I even explain this? So this guy has no shirt on. He's got leather straps around his arms. He has what appears to be some sort of head torturing device where there's a metal part in his mouth, and then it goes around his head, like orbiting his head, with spikes going into his skull.
I would call that an iron halo.
And then, in his hands, he has two large chains that end in what appear to be spiked manacles.
Oh.
But those chains are not just being held by his hands, they are going into his sides.
Oh.
This man appears to just be... Oh, he's also blindfolded, by the way.
And his eyes looks to have been gouged out.
Yeah, he doesn't appear to be... seeing anything, but he clearly is paying attention to you all, and he is just slowly breathing, and it seems like he is lightly seizing in his like when he breathes, and whenever he like moves, and you can see like one of the chains sort of tug on his ribs. You can see he kind of like flinches, and he like every single time.
Oof.
Gross.
If you all would like to make a knowledge check, you may.
With what?
Occultism?
Society?
This would be religion.
Nope.
It's my alley.
He did have a very Zonkuthanian appearance, but I do not have
religion. Yeah, that's the Zonk.
I rolled another 3. for a 22.
That is not enough to know what these things are. The only thing that I'll say is, with what you've dealt with and what you heard from the party, with Grimshaw and stuff like that, you think that this is one of those Velstrax.
That's what I thought.
Oh, wasn't there the intern? Didn't he make a brochure about the Velstrax? He was like dispersing it to like the councilman in Kuchargo, yeah, trying to convince it. Them.
Oh, these guys are fine. All right.
Don't keep them.
Well, we always see them doing evil. So what? Anyway, so you don't know anything about them necessarily, just from that. You just understand that these are those Velstrax things that Grimshaw talked about. However, I need all of you, as you make eye contact with it, I need you all to make will saves.
But how can I make eye contact with it having no eyes?
Checkmate, GM. There.
Twenty-nine.
You're fine. You, as this thing was sort of looming over you, and you sort of came around the corner and saw it, something about you, this like presence, almost felt like it wanted to like push you to the ground. Mm-hmm. Like there was something about it that made you want to like prostrate to it.
Ugh.
Yeah. So it sort of just stands there waiting. And then she goes, "Bring the first product, please." And he walks over to the other side of the little ledge that he's on, and you see those chains go out. And you hear somebody, "I can't!" And he pulls a slave up by hooks and brings them over and then puts them in front of himself. And says, "Product number one, master." She says, "How much will you pay for this one?"
"You misunderstand. We're taking them. We're not paying anything."
"They are worth a monetary amount to me with their labor, but if their lives are worth more to you, then I have the bargaining chip, don't I?"
"You sick fucks are gonna burn for this."
"So, are we done parlaying?"
And Nolly looks at Sir Thorne and snaps her fingers, which is the cue for Sir Thorne to charge, because she's gonna do liberating trick, which automatically frees the prisoner.
So we're rolling initiative, is what I'm hearing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Everybody roll for initiative.
Ooh. Oh, fuck yeah. Good roll.
Trash initiative. Great.
Okay.
I got the slave in the initiative.
Oh, shit.
They have a +3, and they rolled a natural one. Well, I
that tracks.
I mean, it makes sense.
Just got hooked.
Yeah, it makes sense. Okay, going around Nolly, since you made the first cue, what did you get? 23. For your 23. Sir Thorne.
36.
36. Mielari.
38.
And Laria.
32.
Okay. Mielari, you are going first.
That's surprising. I was expecting. He's like, "All right," and the main boss got a 45. Mielari is going to also snap her fingers, but she is casting haste on Nolly.
Oh.
Get those rocks flying, And now I really don't know what to do. Because seriously, where do I go from this point?
Yeah, this is where you guys are figuring out this is not exactly the approach for three-fourths of your characters.
Yeah. Right, so there's like a 10-15 foot pond between us and the Magus, and then there's a 5-foot ledge, you said, to get up to, or two 5-foot ledges to get up to the Valstrak in the prisoner.
Yep.
Well, that sucks.
I don't want to close with either of these people. That's a problem.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Ugh. Haste is two actions anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you only got one to work with now. But.
I'm going to get to right before the water where I can see both of them. I could hit both with either a telekinetic projectile or a crossbow bolt if I had to. Or I can run and get to either of them when my friends get in different positions.
Okay.
So I'm giving myself some options here.
Got it. Next comes to the mage. She puts her hand up. Lightning begins forming. She goes, "It's been so long since I've killed indiscriminately. She's hitting chain lightning across all you guys.
What the fuck?
Boo.
So hitting, going against Mialari first, so I need you to make the reflex save.
Come on, just get a natural 20.
That is the way to stop this, is to just cut it here.
Yes.
Tim, 16 plus 21.
37.
37 is a success. So you take half.
She does have evasion. Damn it.
Nolly next.
Oh, not bad. Oh, that's out of the box. Oh, is that cracked? No, it's not cracked. It just rolled bad. Okay. That's a 28.
Okay, that is a fail. Yep. Next one is Sir Thorn.
Come on, Sir Thorn. 90 20.
Oh, no.
Oh no.
20.
Oh no.
You have hero points, remember?
I'm using my hero point.
There it is.
So Thorn sees this lightning coming, and he remembers the time that his brother got struck by lightning right in front of him.
Whoa.
I just created lore off the bat here.
I didn't write that, but it's canon now.
30.
Okay, so a success.
Wow.
And then Laria.
31.
Success.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So this is going to be 50 points of electricity damage.
Ooh. Okay. Ow.
So 25 for everybody that saved?
Yep. And then she puts a magical shield in front of her.
Coward!
That is her turn. And then it comes to Sir Thorn.
Okay. Sir Thorn takes off in a sprint. He gets right to the ledge of this pond, and he leaps his ass over this thing with a long jump.
Oh my gosh.
So it's 20 feet to this square right in front of her.
Okay.
And I can go up to 25 feet if I get the roll.
Okay.
Okay, I think I got it. My athletics is, yep, okay. I get it easily. So I leap.
I'll say your athletics.
I fucking just like do a fucking broad jump and just like, oof, like a fucking Olympic broad jump with a fucking lance over my head. Just land right in front of her. One action left. Gah! Stab right into her.
Okay.
Come on. Good roll. Come on. Let's go. shit. 28.
Miss.
Yeah, god damn it. I'm rolling so terribly today.
You leap over heroically and you level this lance at her, and she very easily just like slides her head to the side. Just what?
Taunt me, bitch.
Laria, it's your turn.
Okay. Laria is going to honestly do the same thing. After taking that lightning bolt, she's going to run full sprint. And with same thing with Sir Thorn, going to long jump across over, because I feel like getting hit with lightning again. I don't know. So she should easily make this jump as well.
Okay.
Because plus 22. 30.
Yep.
So a 30 to leap over. And with her last action, she's going to grapple.
Yes. Okay.
Grab the mage. Grab her.
Grab the mage. I'm saying,
please magic. Crit and restrain her.
Maybe. So that's a 19 on the die.
Oh my
so
god.
So that's a 41.
Oh.
Fuck, it's crit.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Fuck, cast a spell now, bitch.
Fucking bear hugged her.
Oh yeah, like she wraps herself around her like a snake, kind of just like locking her arms back. So try to cast that lightning now.
Alright.
Oh my god. Yes.
That was pretty sick. Nolly, it is your turn.
Nolly just sees everyone leaping across. Very tempted to do the same. But she's gonna stand firm her ground, move to get a little better positioning. She has a river rock ready, and she looks around. She's like, "Well, I suppose if we cut off the head, kill the snake," and she launches a strike out at the lady drunk with power, and I hate dice because you roll them and you roll low. But it's okay. This is just what I do.
You're hasted.
I'm hasted. Okay, so I moved. I had loaded, so I struck. I'm gonna reload and then strike again. Thank you, Milari. Great, a roll that probably would have hit if I would have rolled well the first time. So that's a 29.
29 is a miss.
Even though they're off guard?
I already put restraint on, so... Meh. Sorry, bud. Okay. Then at that point, it comes to the Velstrak and the slave's turn. The Velstrak that was holding this slave up begins ripping his skin from the slave.
Oh. Yeah.
And he screams.
God.
And everything around him goes dark in this cave.
How far out?
Aww.
He begins walking towards him.
Oh.
I'll see you guys next time.
Oh. I'm terrified of that Velstrak, man.